Good morning, good day, good Easter to you all. The sun is shining. It is a beautiful resurrection morning. The tomb is empty. Our sanctuary is filled with the scent of Easter lilies. We are awash in the beauty of tulips and hyacinths and lily of the valley. All of you look lovely sitting here in your Easter dresses and your new suits and your bonnets. And on this most amazing day, the tomb is empty and Christ is risen. And we are glad all of you are joining us this day as we celebrate new life and resurrection here at First Christian Church. Before we begin our worship service, though, we have a few announcements. As is our new custom for the time being, you will want to gather a few items before we begin worship. You will want to gather your communion bread and cup at your table and bring your offering as well with a pen and an envelope and a stamp so you can put it in the mail. Worship bulletins were mailed out to you earlier this week, and you will want to have that with you so that you are able to follow along the service and join us for the call to worship and the hymns. The words are included in the bulletin. Today, we're grateful to have special music. We want to thank Amber French, Bob Malloy, and Josh Nicholson, and Kathy Winders for sharing their gifts with us this morning. You will also see in the bulletin the card shower for this week is for all first responders, healthcare workers, grocery store employees, postal workers, all those whose services and work we depend on each day, much of which is taken for granted. So please take a few minutes this week and write someone a letter of thanks for their continuing care for this community throughout this uncertain and fearful time. We also would like to remind you to take this virus seriously, and please don't put yourself in danger or anyone else because you are bored at home. We know what that's like. We're praying for the safety of each other and for every one of you. If you're bored, give me a call. I will talk to anybody. We don't know when we will meet again, but we are keeping watch on the health department, and we will be back together as soon as we can. So, are there any other announcements today? Anybody? Then let's begin our worship service with the prelude. Kathy? Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Will you please join us in the call to worship? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
God is alive. New birth is given.
Hope is alive. A new day is dawning.
Joy is alive. Redemption is here.
Love is alive. Death cannot harm us.
We are alive. God's Spirit is within us.
Let us celebrate the God of resurrection.
We are alive, and new life is within us.
The church is alive. God's Spirit is within us.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Let us worship God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is Christ the Lord is risen today. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, and give you thanks that you have given us such joy, such grace, and such hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let our lives be proof of that good news. Let all our words and actions, our love and service bear witness to your saving love revealed in the resurrection of Jesus. We pray in the name of our risen Lord who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father,
it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And now we have with us Bob Malloy and Josh Nicholson to do special music. They will be playing for us this lovely Easter day, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Josh. That was lovely. Thank you very much. Oh, and now it's time for our children to come forward or come sit in front of a computer and listen for a minute. I'm going to sit in the middle of the... Okay, I have to sit in the middle of the chancel to do this. Okay, I have a piece of cardstock and a red marker. And so, here's what I'm doing. And you all can do this too. Get a piece of construction paper and a couple of markers. And on the top of the one side, make a heart. Y'all know how to draw a heart. Okay. I may not know how to draw a heart. Okay. Then if I had lots of time, I would color this in. See, I'm gonna... My coloring skills are just fabulous. This is the most beautiful heart that has ever been drawn at for all time ever in any place ever. It's gorgeous. You're just going to have to trust me on this. It's absolutely beautiful. See? Isn't that gorgeous? Gorgeous? Beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful. Okay. So there's one heart. Yep. Gorgeous. Now I'm going to turn my cardstock upside down, and I'm going to draw another heart where the bottom of the heart, I'm going to put a dot in the middle of this heart that I just drew, a big dot, and that's going to be the bottom of my heart. So draw a heart from the bottom starting up. It's kind of hard, but anyway, there you go. From the middle of the heart, that's the bottom of your new heart when you turn the page upside down. So, and then draw in that heart. Oh, it's gorgeous. Yes. This red Expo marker just makes it lovely. You can use whatever color you want. Make it gorgeous. Okay, there we go. Colored all in. Oh, it's beautiful. Okay, now turn the card sideways and draw a line where the two hearts meet in the middle, up and down, up and down. There you go. And at the top of the line, draw a circle. Okay, there. And at the circle, draw two little antenna off each side. And what do you have? Look at that. What does this look like? Tell me, what does this look like? It's a butterfly. It's a butterfly. I did it. It's a butterfly. Now, why on Easter would we be drawing a butterfly? Huh? Huh? Come on.
It's entering a new stage, transformation.
Okay, think like you're 7 years old. Seven-year-old would not say transformation. Come on. Use your small, really good words.
Being born.
Huh? Yes, yes. Butterflies started out as what? Caterpillars, and then they made a what? A cocoon, and then they became beautiful butterflies. And that's what Easter is about. Easter is about new life every single day. Every single day, because Jesus has been resurrected because of Easter, every day is a chance to be something new, like butterflies. So, So, draw a butterfly and put it up on your refrigerator. It's gorgeous. I'm going to take this home. All right, let's have a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for butterflies, for caterpillars and cocoons, and for Jesus and Easter. Amen. 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 Now I'm tangled up, and I'm going to go back over here. All righty.
Saints to reign. He arose, he arose.
Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Thank you, Amber, and the First Christian Church Pandemic Choir. And now, as we come to our time of prayer, we have some prayer concerns to share today. Let's see. Monica was in the hospital emergency room just for a little bit this week. She was dehydrated, is what they decided, and she is drinking water like a fish. And she is much better now, and she is at home. Cal needs to have neck and back surgery eventually when hospitals are doing elective surgeries. It is not an urgent thing, but it's just something that he has to look at down the road. Let's see. Shelley Murrell. Shelley works for the BLM in law enforcement, and this is a little early for her, but she begins her summer work this weekend, and her work for the first time is she is making sure that public lands are not overrun with people. She is charged with the task of keeping people off public land so they can stay safe and get home. So we want to remember Shelley Murrell in our prayers. Let's see. Lisa, our bookkeeper, is back at work. Her COVID-19 test was negative. She was very sick, though, and she has recovered. She's back at home, and she is back at work, and we are grateful for that. Lonnie McBee finished her chemo treatments this week, and she rang the bell that signals the end of that part of cancer treatment. So we are very happy about that. Her next step is radiation, and that will be set up in the coming week. Mike Ward begins his chemotherapy treatments next Tuesday. And, of course, we are thankful for all of you at home. We are praying for you. We are praying for courage and strength for each new day, and that kindness will fill all of you while we are apart physically. Are there other joys and concerns? Then let's join together on this Easter day in prayer. Eternal God of such amazing surprises as put a catch in our breath and wings on our hearts, we praise you and we thank you for this day, for this joy that is too great for words, but not too great for tears and songs and sharing. We thank you for this mercy that blots out our betrayals and bids us begin again, to limp on, to hop, skip, and jump on, to mend what is broken in and around us, and to forgive the breakers. We thank you this day, eternal God, for this yes. For this yes to life and laughter, to love and lovers, and to our unwinding self. For this kingdom unleashed in us and us in it forever. And we thank you, eternal God, that because of this day, now there are no dead ends to growing, to choices, to chances, to calls to be just. There are no dead ends to living, to making peace, to dreaming dreams. There are no dead ends to being glad of heart. Life-giving God, we thank you for this resurrection madness which is wiser than any of us, and in which we see how truly great you are, how wonderfully full of grace you are. God of grace, God of new life, God of love, for this most amazing day, for your word, for your yes, that is the resurrection itself, with all of creation, we thankfully and joyfully say, Alleluia, Alleluia, Amen.
And now it's time for our invitation to communion. I encourage you at home to gather around the table and invite anyone who's in your home. That includes children and people who are not members of our church. You see, the one thing that Jesus taught us is that our table is open to everyone, even people who betray him or who deny him. Jesus taught us that love is the greatest thing that he can offer us and that we need to go forward. Let us now sing, Let Our Talents and Tongues Employ, as our hymn of communion.
And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to dinner with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me. And after supper, he took a cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant which is for you. As often as you drink this, do so in memory of me.
Let us pray. O loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to come to this table in celebration of your Son's resurrection. We know that the bread and the cup give us the strength to carry on your love, your faith in all mankind, for us to do right. The bread and the cup nourishes our soul and brings love to light. In these things we ask. Amen.
Thank you.
So I need you to do something that I normally don't like to ask people to do. But I want you to get out your checkbooks or your wallet and make that check out to First Christian Church or put some cash in an envelope and mail it in. You see, because even though the physical doors of the church are locked right now, God's work still continues, and we still need to let people know that God's love and hope is available to all, and your tithes and offerings allow that to happen. But here's something I want you to think about. Times may be a little tough. Some of you may not have a job at this point in time, and you're wondering how you're going to make it. And you may feel a little pressure about writing a check to the church right now. Well, I'm going to give you what they call in golf a mulligan. And here's what I want you to do. If you can't write a check today to the church, I want you to reach out to three people. And I want you to call them and ask them how they're doing, listen to them, and then say, and what else? That last question will open their hearts up and let them know that you really care and that we at First Christian Church care about our community. So at this time, please give your tithes and offerings. Oh, gracious and loving God, we bring these offerings in celebration of your Son's resurrection. We ask that you give us the wisdom and the knowledge to use these tithes and offerings to show everyone how much God means to this world. In these things we pray. Amen. Amen.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, that calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the is worth the living just because he lives.
Because he lives. Because he lives.
And then one day across that river I'll fight life's gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he I can face tomorrow, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you very much. First scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 6. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when the sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. And our second lesson is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gardens by Alastair Barrett. He says, I want to tell you a story of two gardens. The first garden was long, long time ago, back in the midst of time. It was God's garden, the garden God had planted and watered and tended and nurtured. And in that garden, so the story goes, God got down on his hands and his knees in the dust of the earth. And God took some of the dust of the earth in his hands and shaped it and molded it and smoothed it. And into the dust, into the clay, into the work of God's hands, God breathed the breath of life, the Spirit of God. And boys and girls came to life, men and women, human beings, God's own children. And God was very, very pleased. That's the story of the first garden. The second garden was many, many hundreds of years later. And it was very early one morning. And there was a woman coming to the garden. And her name was Mary of Magdala. And she was very, very sad, heartbroken. She had lost the person she had loved more than anyone else in the world. She had lost the person who had loved her more than anyone else ever had, who knew her completely, utterly, and who loved her completely, utterly, unconditionally. She had lost the only person who had ever made her feel worth something. Whenever you lose someone, you lose a part of yourself. When you lose the only person in the world who really knows you, who really loves you, it's like you've lost everything. Lost yourself, lost your hope, lost your future, lost your whole world. And Mary comes to this garden early this morning to the place where they've buried his body. Except his body isn't there. She can't believe it. They took him away from her, and now they've taken his body. She can feel the tears welling up inside her, and they pour out. She cries and cries and cries. And through the tears, she hears a voice. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And then, through her tears, she hears, Mary. And suddenly she knows who it is, and who she is, and that he is alive, and that she is loved again, known again, worth something again, has a future again, and that love will never, ever die. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and so has Mary, and so are we, boys and girls, men and women, human beings, God's own children, all creation. We are loved. We are known. We are worth something. We have a future. And just as Mary did, that's something that's worth going out and telling the world. I'm jealous I didn't write that. Mary Magdalene has gotten a good deal of press over the centuries. And she'll get a little more attention this evening as Sarah Bareilles interprets her tonight when NBC rebroadcasts Jesus Christ Superstar Live. When it was originally broadcast live a couple of years ago, 2018, Sarah Bareilles said Mary Magdalene was a mirror of love for Jesus. The legends and the myths about her are many and they are varied. She was a prostitute. She was a sinful woman. She was demon-possessed. She was Peter's equal in leading the early church. She was the wife of Jesus and the mother of his child. The legends and the myths are fanciful. And yet, in the Gospel of John, Mary of Magdala, Magdalene is not her last name, friends. Magdala being the name of the town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee is where she was from, and it's not her last name. Mary is the first disciple to proclaim the good news of Easter. You all heard it when she said, "I have seen the Lord." In the Gospel of John, Mary is a faithful follower of Jesus. She is the follower who remained even after the bitter end. Mary of Magdala first appears in this gospel at the cross. Far from her Galilean home in the north, she is here in Jerusalem at Golgotha. As the writer of John tells us, she is standing near the cross of Jesus, along with his mother and his aunt. Three faithful women standing steadfast through the darkness. Three faithful followers standing near as Jesus bows his head and gives up his spirit. The others, all the others disappear, fade away, fall away, wander away, but Mary remains. And then we hear it is early morning, that time of the new day just before daylight, when it's still dark. And Mary has come to the garden. In the stillness before the dawn, Mary is first at the tomb. A stone has been rolled away. The tomb is open and wasting no time to look inside. Mary runs. She runs immediately to Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And you see, she knew where to find him. The grave has been robbed. It was not an uncommon crime of the day. They have taken the Lord, she says, and we don't know where. And so the three disciples race back to the grave in the garden. The men go in to the open tomb and look around. They see the grave clothes, the linen wrappings just lying there, and the cloth. This is a lovely detail the gospel writer puts in. The cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, rolled up, all nice and neat, in a place by itself. A tomb is empty. And so the men go home. There's nothing there to see. But Mary, very, very sad and broken-hearted Mary, even believing everything is lost, Mary, still faithful, still keeping watch, Mary remains in the garden, weeping. As Jesus once wept over the death of his friend Lazarus, Mary now weeps in the garden for her Lord. "Woman, why are you weeping?" the angels ask from inside the tomb. Here, there is no angelic announcement as in other gospel stories. Here, there is no heavenly direction as in other gospel stories. Only this, "Woman, why are you weeping?" They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where. Again she hears, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She turns to see the gardener, the one who once said, "I am the vine and you are the branches," in the guise of the gardener speaks again. As when he called his first disciples, now he calls to her, "Whom are you looking for?" You know, gardener or thief, only one thing matters to her. "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where and I will take him." And then, Mary. And in that moment, as he calls her name, she knows who he is. Recognition comes as she hears her name being called by the one who is love itself. As Alistair Bennett says, and through the tears she hears the voice, she hears Mary. And suddenly she knows who it is and who she is, and that he is alive, that she is loved again, known again, worth something again, has a future again, and that that love will never, ever die. Here in this garden, a weeping woman's grief and sorrow are turned into joy and expectancy. Darkness gives way to light. Grief gives way to joy. Sorrow gives way to hope. Death gives way to life, new life. And she has been called by name. And so it is for us. On this day of resurrection, Jesus calls each one of us by name. And Jesus calls each one of us to the light of resurrection, into the light of new hope and new life. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. We are loved. We are known. We are worth something. We have a future. And love will never, ever die. These are the gifts of God that are ours each and every new day. Even when the way is hard and impossible and the dark road leads to a dead end, even when we fail to recognize him in the garden, in the face of a stranger, in the voice of a child, in the bread and the cup, even when we think there is no way forward, even when we think all is dead and completely lost, even then, Jesus recognizes us and calls our name, calls us to faith and wholeness and life and love. Jesus calls us to a new hope, to abide in his life of abundance in the very heart of God. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. We are loved. We are known. We are called by name. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. This is the good news of God. Go and tell. Let us pray. Merciful and loving God, we come into your presence today to see for ourselves the truth of your resurrection. Gather up our lingering fears and confusion, meet our doubts with compassion and understanding. Open our eyes to see your love and grace surrounding us every day. Open our ears to hear you calling us by name to new challenges. Open our imaginations to new possibilities, especially this day and in this time. Come anew to all who have been unable to believe. Come anew to all who have known you. Come each day and raise us to new and everlasting light as surely as you raised Jesus from the dead, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this lovely morning is He Lives. Easter day, in your lovely Easter clothes, you have never looked better. Dennis has never looked better. Kathy looks lovely this morning. I will tell you, she is in her Easter dress. It is beautiful with flowers, and she's got a little white sweater on, and she is just lovely. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. I'm sorry if it's actually really snowing, but it is a beautiful day to celebrate with family and friends. And to remember, this is a day of new life and resurrection. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the risen Lord. Amen.